Hello, good morning. This is Marcy Schuler with 307 Net Radio, and we're here this morning with Charles Oskey, the Superintendent of Schools at Johnson County School District Number 1. Oh, we've got so many questions for you this morning.
First of all, good morning, and I'm excited to be here again. So the week has went fast.
It has. We had a lot going on. If you haven't noted, 307 Net Radio put on two candidate forums the last couple nights, and they'll be online. So go ahead and go listen to those. And school board was among them. But
just on a side note, I appreciate what you guys are doing with the candidate forums and getting information out to the community. And hopefully the community takes advantage of this so they know who they're electing. So I'm very grateful that you guys are putting in the time to do that. So thanks.
Great. Well, you know, we're voters too. So yeah. I'm anxious to learn who the school board candidates are and who all the candidates are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know one of them quite well, but other than that, I'm learning along with you. So this last couple weeks, I was reading in the news, and there's quite a hubbub in Natrona County about some books in their libraries, and some parents are saying they're porn in their libraries, and very upset with the schools. What are the processes? How does that happen? How does porn get in our libraries?
So this is a great conversation. So the first thing I want to tell the community and Johnson County is we can't treat that, because what's happening in one district is what happens in every district. So we in this district, that is not literature that is in our district, but there are processes, and I want to reiterate that. There's a process. We have a young lady who is amazing at overseeing what's in our books and in our libraries, and Leanne does a great job with that. But there is a process. But please don't assume just because one school library has it that all school libraries around the state have it. That's not in our library. If there are things that, as of questions, there's a process. And the first thing I want to state with the process is the chain of command. So if there's something with any school library, let's reach out to Leanne. Let's have that conversation and know the truth of what really is there and not there. She takes a lot of pride in what we bring into the district and a lot of time. She personally makes sure that they oversee every new book that comes in, and if it's not there, she'll do the research to find out. And then if we're not happy with that process of coming to her, or the next one is if it's something in the classroom, let's have a conversation with the teacher and the principal. But at that point in time, there is procedure. So there is a board procedure where we can put a committee together to be reviewed by a committee of people to see if it's appropriate. And some of the conversations coming out of that is age appropriateness. Where would a book, should it be placed? Is this appropriate for the elementary? Is this more appropriate for junior high? And as we live in this new world and society and that perception of what's in and out of our libraries, we can spin it in such a way, let's take an opportunity to visit with the people that actually oversee it, have a good conversation about it, understand the process. So I just really need to continue to encourage that. Reach out to the school library or to Leanne, or reach out to the principal and the teacher, and let's have those conversations and clear up that. But this is a great topic, and I'm glad we're not bouncing around it or just saying, hey, because it's real. And there's a lot of perception just because one school's doing it, all schools are doing it, and that's not necessarily the case. Johnson County is a different place than Natrona. And so I'm 100% sure Leanne has already looked into this, and this is stuff that's not in our libraries, and if there's something of question, we just need to let her know, okay?
You know, I think, last week was, I believe, it was banned books week, or 2 weeks ago. And so there's books that are banned from our libraries, and I've been reading, there's books that are classics that are, quote, I air quotes, banned from libraries. What do you know about that? I mean, that seems kind of crazy.
So there is. There's a big push about these books shouldn't be, whether they're related to CRT, whether they're related to inappropriate sexual content, what is it exposed to. And there are a series of books that have been there, and I don't want to age myself, but even probably when I was in school, that now are coming under question. And so that reality is, and there's a difference between what are we actually requiring for maybe a book read in a class compared to what's in a school library, because some of that is just about reading time, so it's a choice. And if parents, you know, it's about a book that we want kids to just be reading, encouraging, but if it's a book a parent doesn't want, that they're just checking out, we'll work with the parent to find a more appropriate book for those. But there's systems and processes to go through that. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I've seen snapshots of a website saying, hey, but then these books should be banned. Well, then we need to ask the question, who in theory said these are bad?
Or why?
And, you know, where's the research behind it? Well, just because we're getting into personal opinions and not based on facts. So we just have to be careful and come back and trust the process and, more importantly, trust the people. And I'm going to come back to Leanne. If there's anybody in the state that is super conservative and makes sure what our kids are put in front of, it's her. And she has solid knowledge. So that's what we need to reassure. And the social media and what they post and these national ban the books because these are there are based on what? Sometimes it's opinion, okay?
So you're referring to Leanne Schimmel, the head librarian for the district, okay? So you touched on CRT.
Sorry, Leanne, but yes, Leanne Schimmel.
You touched on CRT, so that's critical race theory, and we've all probably heard about critical race theory, but I think there's a lot of varying idea of what that actually is. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, let's do that too. So here's where we are. CRT is three letters, CRT. And sometimes we reference that, but now it is critical race theory. However, I want to be honest with you, in 30 years, those same three letters have been used. So there's a confusion. Hey, CRT has been in our schools forever. Okay, so it used to be what was called criterion reference testing, or our new form of testing. So it's not critical race theory. Well, we've been doing this for 20 years because I remember them mentioning CRTs in schools. No, it was a whole different use of letters, and it was based on assessments that were happening. It had nothing to do with critical race theory. As a vocational teacher and technology teacher, 30-some years ago, CRT was computer-related technology. So there was a big push at one time to bring computer-related technology into the vocational field. So even as a vocational teacher, I would use the terminology CRT. We're bringing computer-related technology into the welding industry. So whether it's a micro welder or some different things. So this is good for me to help explain when people say, no, I've heard that terminology before. What we're talking about now with CRT is critical race theory, and that we've adopted that, and we have not adopted that. Our job and our responsibility in Johnson County School District and every school district around the state is to teach to the state standards. And those standards are developed through a committee of people. It aligns to our state assessment with blueprints. And I also want to reassure you that the state has not adopted the critical race theory. That's more of a doctoral level theory of where we're at. Our job is to teach to the standards, which we're held accountable for. And at no point in time has Johnson County adopted a separate curriculum called critical race theory.
So as I understand it, I mean, a lot of people are very worried about this because they think it's skewing history and that's what we're doing. But isn't it really just a theory that is taught at the doctoral level in colleges to some students, and it's not even a curriculum?
So yeah, there are some schools or districts that have I want to stay out of those. I mean, other states and other there are some private schools that I think have adopted something, but that is not here in Johnson County. We are not them. And we are responsible when we say teaching history. Absolutely, there's a confusion. Our job is to teach history and not teach us in a biased way. These are things that have happened in history. History, I think, is taking a bad rap, and even in some cases, people are struggling. Should we teach this? Is there controversy to it? But as long as we're not imposing our personal opinions and we're talking about history, and there's a common statement, History repeats itself, so that's why we understand history, is understanding what happened through history to get to where we were. But it's not critical race theory. It's not getting into those critical race theory is not a part of the social studies standards. However, are we teaching kids about the history and what's happened in the past? Yeah, those are social studies standards, and they're very broad.
So critical race theory is talking more about
discrimination.
Okay, discrimination, how race has been handled in the past. And some people skew that information because they're upset about the discrimination that happened. Would that be a true statement?
Yeah, and they think we're teaching kids to discriminate, to say, hey, I'm better than you, okay, because of my hair color, because of my shoe color. And we are not. We're actually, this will kind of lead into what the sources of strength that we're doing. We're just doing just the opposite. We're teaching people to, understand, but have things in their toolbox for life on how to deal with the social pressures that are out there and to become stronger advocates for themselves. So sources of strength, teaching everybody to be respectful and those different types of things. And I know Jen and Bill are doing a great job, and I can't wait to get the kids in once we get that trained to actually show what that program is. But it's just completely the opposite, and that's the next social emotional learning. So SEL is combined with CRTs too. And you know, there's a fear of a lot of indoctrination going on in our schools, and it's I got to come back and say our teachers are there working with kids because they have a love for kids. And social emotional is, it comes back to one thing, is our kids are under a lot of stress. There's a lot of social pressures that are out there and how they deal with them. If you talk with the statistics, Johnson County has been number one in the nation with suicide, and at some points or time, and we kind of fall in and out, and our kids need some help and support, and that's all we're trying to do as a district, is make sure our kids feel supported, feel welcome, know how to deal with the social pressures, because let's be real, social media has 10 times, if not 100 times, increased the social pressures that these kids have to deal with. And that's not fair. And have the skill sets. And we have some parents that really care, but you know what? This is new for parents, too. How do you deal with the social media pressure that your kids are under? Because we never dealt with it. All right? Frankly, I had a rotary phone. And that's really, okay, my parents wouldn't have known how to deal with social media. And they're at the point right now where they don't even want to be on social media. They don't care. Our kids are exposed to it. This is a new generation. We are a new generation of parents. How do we deal with that? The right road, that presentation that we had about how predators are on the internet with our kids, that is scary. We don't know how to deal with that. And so we're all working this journey together.
So you bring up the social emotional learning, sources of strength. Do you address things like the cyberbullying and that kind of thing? Say my child is being cyberbullied. I mean, I as a parent may or may not know. How does the school deal with that? It's not during school hours, but
yes, yeah, so those are all things which we're becoming. The school's not dealing with the bullying that's happening, and that's what we're finding, is some of the bullying is happening outside of school, getting drug in. But here again, sources of strength. What are your avenues? Coming, telling somebody, having the confidence that you're not the, as I call it, the niche. That's the new word for our kids, but I don't think it is. So in my world, it was the niche. Who's telling on who? But saying, hey, I'm getting bullied, or I don't feel comfortable in this situation, and then asking us as adults to help support them. Getting law enforcement involved. I mean, it's one of the topics we have with our community safety committee project, is what things are in place to help support those kids. And, that's why we want law enforcement in the schools more often. And it's not necessarily just an SRO, but walk to school the other day, the National Walk to School. Do you know how cool it was to see all of our law enforcement out on the streets and with the kids, and all these kids walking down the street to school and supporting, and, you know, parents stopping to put a roadblock so kids can get across the street? again, that Johnson County is a super awesome place to be raising kids and educate kids, because people come together and do some things. But the more our law enforcement is in the eyes of the kids and friendly, they're going to open to those. And our teachers are a great resource. And it's not maybe a teacher, it's a para, it's a bus driver, it's a kitchen staff. But knowing that they can come to somebody when they're struggling and then we get them the appropriate help is kind of the ultimate goal.
So you've mentioned sources of strength two or three times. Is that a program, or what is sources of strength?
So sources of strength is the counselors. So Jen Skaggs is kind of the lead person for the district. It's something new. We're collaborating with local agencies to get that up and going. And so it's something that we're going to get in front of the community with. It's nationally proven, and it's there to help prevent initially suicide, but it's about giving kids the tools to deal with the social pressures and to how to respect each other and create that more of a positive society, but yet not giving up your personal identity. I guess fair to that is, you know, what we do for one, we do for all, or more importantly, how you treat one is how you want to be treated type of thing. And understanding that, you know, simple texts can be emotionally hard on somebody. So we just live in a very difficult world. It's easy to say something hard and push a button and say send, where 15 years ago we would have never had that conversation because we didn't have that face to face. So I mean, we as a school and a district and a nation and a society, I'm going to include everybody, not just Johnson County, we are in a different world with how we communicate, how we perceive, and that is a challenge for these kids. Let's be real. Even and they are more technically savvy than we are. Let's also be real. Our kids know technology inside and out. They know social media like the back of their hand, where we as parents are struggling. So the more we can do to help parents understand or teach kids that just because Google, as soon as you Google it and it comes up and it says, hey, this is what it is, you forget to read at the bottom. That's one of 7,000 possible sources of evidence of what really is about. But what we always do is we look at the first couple articles and say, this is how it is in the real world when it could be. So how do you become more fiscally understand that might not be the right information, that you need to dig a little bit different? But I think I'm speaking. I do it myself. Google, what's the first two things? That's gospel. It used to be encyclopedia when I was in school. If you wanted to know the facts, you'd go to an outdated encyclopedia. Now what do? We Google everything, right?
Sure, sure. Well, we've covered quite a few topics today in a short amount of time.
I appreciate you asking the hard questions. I don't want to, as a superintendent, you know, brush things off and say that, hey, it's not here. I did say that here today, but we need to understand what those words mean and what we're trying to do. And we're not perfect. And there's no school district that's perfect. But however, if we work as a community through things like this with you guys, you guys are super awesome and coming in and asking these hard questions so everybody truly understands. And if there's something we're missing, let's break down that wall and let's come to the building administrator or come to the teacher or come to the librarian, as we talked about, have those conversations. And if we don't like it, there's a process we follow. So eventually, if it works through the process, we can say what we're doing is best for all kids.
And essentially, I would say that process sounds like it's go to the person closest to the issue, and then it sort of ripples out from there. So
Absolutely.
It ends up at the school board, but that's the last part of the ripple.
Yeah, right? And so my common practice, if it comes to me and we haven't went to the local source first, I'm going to push it back there. Because in fairness to them, the people that need to be able to answer for themselves, not from Charles, and then we kind of move up through that. So thanks.
Great. Well, is there anything else that's going on in the district we need to touch before we sign off for today?
We're coming to the end of fall season. It's fall out. It's cool out. I'm going to keep the white stuff off as long as I can, but we are gearing up. Principals are going out, so this is the month of October for principals, just so everybody knows. My expectation is they go to all the peer reviews around the state, because we're going to be reviewed next year. So building leadership is out, and in other districts, learning what we should do to get prepared for next year. Monday is professional development day. So we have a huge exciting thing. Our local law enforcement is providing training for staff on how to identify and what to look for with possibly any drugs or what's happening in our community. And then we have a guest speaker coming in from 9 to noon. And then we're going to do administrative leadership training on professional learning communities. And then our teachers are going to start looking at data. We're starting to put together our school improvement plans after our school report cards come out. In addition, kids are still in school. We're still trying to teach them. And back to the whole thing, our kids are super busy. We had the band performance the other night. It's homecoming week coming up next week. There needs to be 24 hours in a half a day and 48 hours in one day, and we might get everything done, but I'm just appreciative of this time.
Great. Well, thank you so much for all your time, and we will be talking again next week.
Absolutely.
This is Marcy Schuler signing off for 307 Net Radio.